name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy holy bounty, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As for me, I will call upon God, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was worn against me. God shall hear and afflict me, even that he abides forever. Cast thy cares upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thy face from my supplication. Amen.
With you.
And let us pray. O God,
who declares thy almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of your grace, that we, running the way of your commandments, may obtain the gracious promises and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading from Luther's Small Catechism. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household, the office of the keys and confession. What is the office of the keys? Together, it is a peculiar church power which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of penitent sinners and to retain the sins of the impenitent as long as they do not repent. So far. This morning's Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord, of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods in your hurt, to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." So far. This morning's epistle, Acts chapter 9. And then Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell down to the earth, and he heard the voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom," and the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt you have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do." And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless. They heard the voice, but seeing no man. And then Saul arose from the earth, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And when he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he drink or eat. So far, the epistle lesson. With the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even to the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And then he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. So far, the Holy Gospel. And we confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all eternity, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, and what the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 428. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is Jesus Saves or Destroys, and it's based upon our gospel reading. And I would like to read one verse of that gospel, and that is this one, if I can get to it. And when Jesus was come near, he looked at the city, and he wept over it. So far, please be seated. When Jesus was born, the angel announced, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The purpose of his birth, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save all who were lost. Christ's visit was planned. It was planned because all of us were headed for hell. All of us needed to be rescued from our sins. And there was no way for us to approach God. Since the days of Adam and Eve tried to hide from God in the Garden of Eden, there has been a game of hiding and go seek, going between God and man. Man doing the hiding, God seeking him, not to count him out, but to tell him through Christ he is eternally saved. By nature, we cannot and will not approach God. He must come to us. We need his visitation. But in order that God's purpose might be fulfilled, we must know that we are being visited. When God comes to us, we are to listen to his teachings. We are to believe his word. This was not done in the day that Christ walked this earth, and so our Savior wept. This demonstrates once again that he wanted to save people from their sins. Tears flowed from his eyes when he realized that they would not be saved. You see, God offers and bestows salvation, but he does not force anyone into receiving what he freely gives. In every way, Jesus shows that his mission was one of salvation. His sermons and his miracles showed this. And those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, they should have recognized him as the promised Messiah, but it did not happen. When his gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness were refused, the only alternative would be their destruction. Not only were those who rejected him to be lost eternally, but their city would be destroyed. Could the same thing happen to our nation? Jesus went into the temple to cast out those who had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. Christ, the Lord of the church, who came to save, found that the very purpose of the church, to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, the forgiveness of sins, was so obscured with other interests. And so, what could not be saved was destroyed. Whatever is in the church, whatever overshadows the crucified Christ, the gospel of salvation, God will destroy. It may be in time, it will be in all of eternity. Those who use the church for their own gain, whether it be making profits, building their own ego, they will be judged. The Savior comes to save. If salvation is rejected, both law and the gospel reduced, destruction follows. As our gospel states, the scribes and the chief priests sought to destroy Jesus. Well, little did they know that they were going to be destroyed themselves. The enemies of God were going down in defeat. Oh yes, Christ had to die, no big deal, but he was not destroyed. He would not die, he would die to save the world, but he would rise again. He would rise again to life. Now, we know the evil plans of the scribes and the chief priests very well. We have witnessed the Savior's struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. We saw his agony on the cross, and we are not only spectators, his struggle is ours as well. And when he was nailed to that cross, we not only witnessed, but we participated in that death. We died to sin. His resurrection, it's not just Christ's personal victory, but a victory for us. The grave shall not hold us either. We shall rise from death. It was for this cause that Jesus Christ visited this earth and continues to visit this very moment. At his ascension, Jesus said he would be with his people always, and his promises are fulfilled as he comes to each and every one of us through the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of Holy Communion. He comes to us. He visits this very hour as we again hear his word and receive the sacrament, and as we confess our sins, he forgives our sins for Christ's sake. Indeed, this is the greatest blessing of all, and that is to have our sins forgiven. And as we view the world today, we too are stricken by the fact that many, even our own neighbors perhaps, loved one, a friend, who does not really know that this place has been visited by God himself. Have we wept lately for those who are perhaps on their way to destruction because they do not know their Lord's visitation? You see, Jesus not only wept, but he also empowers us to do more than weep. Our Lord knew that the time was running out, and the time is running out. Today we stand in his place alone. We are unable to do anything by ourselves, but with his power we are able to witness a living people in a dying world. And yes, at times there are going to be opposition. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. No big deal. But be that as it may, some will listen. Those who seek to destroy this message will themselves be destroyed by it. And the message, of course, is salvation for some, and the message will be damnation for others. My dear friends in Christ, we are blessed in that we know the meaning of Christ's visitation. We hear his teachings. We worship him. He serves us with word and sacrament. Yes, weep for him. Weep as he did. He saves us through his word and the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we can weep as the Lord did, but then let's dry our tears and go into action and bring the gospel of Christ's redemption to those for whom the tears we shed. May God grant us his grace and give us the ability to do so. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
pray for our communicants. I'm sure there's a personal prayer that you would like to extend to the grace of God. Let's do so at this time. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Oh,
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Thank you.
his body and blood, strengthen and preserve and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
The true body.
body, but strengthen and protect you, keep you in the one true faith and the life of the last you want. Depart in the Lord's peace. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks unto the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.